And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a mother-daughter knitting production. This is episode 53 and has been sponsored by Verena Knitting and Pearlescence Yarns. This week's segments include
Events
on the Needles,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks,
Review,
Bring it on, and Spinning. Come on, let's chat. Welcome. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the podcast. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We have so much exciting stuff today, so we're going to start with events. And I would like to say, first and foremost, that today, Sunday, May 17th, is Andrew's 30th birthday. So, hooray! That's one event. Well, not one that we're sharing, because he's currently out trenching the front yard with his brother and my niece, and putting in new sprinklers, which is totally off topic, but we'll get to the knitting part later, as far as his birthday is concerned. And I wanted to talk about where Mom and I are going to be, because this... I have to say, like, summer is
busy.
A very busy time for knitters and spinners. Mm-hmm. Like, all the good stuff happens. I guess that's because that's when the good weather is. I'm putting in quotes because it's like 100 degrees outside today. And like walking through pea soup when you're not in the AC. So we are recording inside. You get a little background noise from the AC and a little bit of background noise from the folks working in our front yard. So we are going to be doing some fun stuff.
Yes.
And I'm super excited about it because, this is my favorite time of year. So, without further ado, let me tell you when and where we're going to be. On June 6th, which is a Saturday, we will be doing the spinning day at the Retzloff Winery in Livermore. It is a really, really fun function. You take your spinning wheel. I like to take a folding chair because sometimes there aren't enough. And you take a potluck dish and you spin. And there are vendors and there is wine and... a lot of good company.
If you don't spin, that's okay too.
Yeah, there's no, nobody's going to kick you out.
I'm bringing my knitting.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing a spindle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't own a wheel at this stage.
I'm sure we could find one if you wanted to spin, but that's not the point.
And you don't have to drink either.
You don't. It's really fun. I think there's a $5 entry fee.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
It is. And we usually show up early in the morning. If you decide to come, dress in layers. Livermore tends to be very cool in the mornings and pretty warm in the afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
So sunscreen is important. The nice thing about knitters is that if you forget your sunscreen, your water, or anything else, people are pretty nice about it. There was one year that I forgot sunscreen and some kind person just sprayed me down, which was awesome. So keep that in mind for June 6th. That's where we're going to be. As always, I have hot pink hair, and Mom isn't ever far behind.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say?
Sherry from...
Moro Fleece Works is there.
Usually it's there.
Along with people who sell raw fleeces. I have not had a year where I have attended, where I have not bought a fleece. And the nice thing is you pay for your fleece at the vendor, and if you're me, you walk it over to Sherry, drop your business card in it, because that has your name and phone number on it, and... if you've processed stuff with Sherry before, she keeps you in her computer. If you haven't, the first time you just have to fill out a little bit of paperwork. But it's really, really worth it. And it's a great day. And I think this might be my favorite function of the year. I'm just going to say it like that. There's wine, there's spinning, there's nice people, and occasionally chickens.
Bacock?
Bacock. Yeah. The picture that's on the vine pattern is us at Retzloff in the vines.
That it is.
Yeah. So... if that gives you an idea of how picturesque and lovely it is.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So that's where we're going to be on June 6th. And then there's a slight change of plans for Worldwide Knit and Public Day, which is the Saturday after that. That's June 13th. Mom will be in Southern California for Sam's graduation.
From UCLA.
Yep.
Yay!
Sam's getting his bachelor's degree there, and convocation is on Friday, the day before. So, convocation... is that what it's called? Graduation. Whatever. Yeah. He's walking. Mom will be down there, hopefully, knitting with Dr. Gemma and her group for Worldwide Knit and Public Day. I can't take the time off work because of, well, I can't take the time off work. And so I will be...
Because of Sock Summit.
Well, not just because of Sock Summit. Because of other things. Like the company shutdown. Which is eating my vacation time. But that's okay. So Sam knows I love him. He knows that I will support him. Yay! So yeah, stay posted for where Mom is going to be in Southern California with, hopefully, Dr. Gemma and her crowd. And I will be up here doing Worldwide Intent Public Day, where we've done it every year. Which is at Santana Row. We're going to be in the middle section at Santana Row between Cohiba, which is the cigar shop, and Sunglasses on the Row, which is the sunglass shop. So I will put links to everything in the show notes. As always, let's get into the meat of this week's episode. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. Verena Knitting's website is not only a destination for bonus patterns and exclusive subscriber content. Now available through Verena's website, purchase hard-to-find yarns as seen in each issue of Verena Knitting. Come on over and visit our newly opened yarn shop at verenaknitting.com and see what we have to offer. And if you have not yet subscribed, all new subscribers receive a free gift from Ukulin as our way of saying thanks for supporting Verena Knitting. Check the show notes for the special subscription code for Knit More Girls listeners. All right, let's talk about some knitting. Yes. What have you been working on?
Well, I'm back to Carly.
Yay!
So it got off the blocking board.
Mm-hmm.
I set in the sleeves, joined the shoulder seams, set in the sleeves, and now I'm working on the collar.
Hooray!
Yes. And if I had thought about it some more, for any of you who are doing the knit along, I'm thinking if I were to do it again, I would not close this shoulder seam.
Mm-hmm.
You need to add 2 stitches at one point in the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I would knit the body, knit the front and back, and then add the 2 stitches and move on into the collar and set in the sleeves afterwards.
Okay. That's a really good idea for people who aren't quite where you are on the curl yet. My Katarina has been languishing, partly because it needs blocking and partly because it's buried under everything else in my home office, which is kind of chaotic. But I'm hoping to do that soon so that I can get the sleeves blocked, because for me, I think I'm going to have to sew in the sleeves before I'm comfortable knitting the collar, because I want to see kind of how it fits with everything before I continue. So that's where my Knit More Along sweater is. And yeah, I have been fairly project monogamous the last week. So I have been working on my wraps.
Have you now?
I have.
Which one?
2 of them.
Okay.
So I started the Erin Pocket shawl, and I talked about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the Cheryl Oberle shawls from Folk Shawls, because we aired the podcast where we chatted with her. And I thought, okay, I'll flip through this book I have. And so I cast that on, and I've been kind of plugging away at it. And it's in that weird time warp place where you knit and knit and knit, and it never grows. So.
The black hole of knitting?
The black hole of knitting. So there's a tear in the time-space knitting continuum right now, but that's okay.
What is your other project?
And I'm knitting the Erin Pocket shawl out of the Sport Weight Jade Sapphire in that pale turquoise. So my other one is another shawl from Cheryl Oberle's book, Folk Shawls.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Wool Peddler's shawl. So last week I talked about dropping the blue blood red cashmere into the navy blue dye and making a beautiful purpley eggplant color.
Mm-hmm.
I wound that up and cast that on, and that's what I'm making my wool peddler shawl out of. Now the pattern calls for a worst weight yarn and I think a size 7 needle, and I'm doing it in a fingering weight yarn on a size 6 needle because that's how I like my lace to look. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of real thick and chunky lace, so... So yeah, there's that. And I've also changed the center panel. So if you look at the picture, it's got a big garter panel in the center. And I'm changing that to stockinette because I don't like to knit garter. And it's turning out really nicely. And I have a little bit more to talk about this later in When Knitting Attacks. But I'm really enjoying it so far because the increased sections are pretty, pretty just mellow and easygoing and pleasant. And yeah.
Good.
So.
You know how I get fixated on something?
I'm a little familiar.
Yeah, so I've set up a blocking station, and I try to get a new thing up every 24 hours if I can manage. So maybe I can work through my pile of stuff that needs to be blocked. So, Carliglot blocked.
Mm-hmm.
The Martha, which is also a Julie Weisenberg
coconut sweater. Yeah.
Sweater. That got blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Katarina front and back. Fronts and back got blocked.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeves haven't gotten blocked yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to do the collar first before I attach my sleeves.
Okay. Great idea.
Yes.
We'll see how yours works out, and we'll see how mine works out, and we can talk about how the different ways of doing it will
mm-hmm.
work.
And while I've got my blocking station up,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm trying to really tear through everything that needs to be blocked that has been languishing for a year or two or three.
But now you're on the kick, and that's what matters most.
Yes.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about, and related to the podcast, but it doesn't really fit into any of the other segments. We hit 101,000 thousand downloads a couple of weeks ago, and I totally forgot to mention it.
You guys rock! Yay!
I think it's a little surreal, considering that we just sit down and record in the kitchen, and then, you know,
yeah,
flounce off and do whatever when we're done. So thank you so much for listening. We hit our one-year podcast anniversary in April, and we've really enjoyed doing it. You guys have been amazing. You've, you know, participated in our contests. You've come to our meet and greets. And, you know, we...
We get comments on the website.
The Ravelry group is nice and active.
Yes.
So it's really fun. We've really enjoyed doing it this last year. And we're going to continue doing it as long as we're having fun. But I don't really see why we'd stop at any point, you know. So thanks for playing along. I wanted to do a quick rundown of how the podcast has evolved since we started.
Okay.
We started the podcast with one USB microphone, which we would both sit around and talk into in front of my computer. And if you listen to those first couple of episodes, you can hear Mom's voice shaking because she's watching the time click by and she feels pressured to keep up with the clock somehow. And I think we've come a long way. So then we were on two USB mics for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the massive equipment failure, got the fancy schmancy microphones, picked up some advertisers so we could cover that. And now we've got the great sound quality and we've got you guys listening. And I'm so excited and this is so fun. And I have to say one more thing. We have the best listeners ever because when you guys want something, you make it clear. So at Stitches, we went and we got all those... And we call them interviews, but it's really just casual chats with all these knitting greats. And it's so much fun. And you guys responded so well. And we originally hadn't planned to go to Sock Summit just because. And you guys wanted audio. And so when we put it out to you and said, if you want us to go, help us get there. And you guys covered all of our hotel costs. And a special thank you to Lisa, who got us an incredible rate at the hotel we're staying at. So, thanks, Lisa. But we're just so thrilled, and I think we're going to get some really good audio while we're there. I've already made contact with people who we're going to chat with, and we'll see how that goes. But I'm so excited, and I can't wait to meet more of you at the Sock Summit and at the winery and at Worldwide Knit and Public Day. I'm just so happy, and so is Mom. She's just sitting there beaming because I check the downloads once in a while just mm-hmm. to keep track of where we are and what's going on and make sure everything's still working. And we totally missed the 100,000 mark, so.
It snuck by while we were busy with podcasting
everything else.
Stuff. Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening. It's been a great year. We're going to keep doing this as long as it's fun. And when it stops being fun, well, we'll reassess. But for now, thanks for listening. Thanks for riding along.
Yeah.
You know? Because... Yeah. Yay.
Yay.
We have the best listeners ever. What else do I have in my notes for today? That's about it for me for On the Needles. Do you have anything else that you're working on?
I finally came back up to my par 5 socks.
Hooray!
And I've turned the heel and I'm knitting down the foot because it was really warm last night and I didn't want to sit and knit. Didn't want to have the mass that is Malabrigo Carly.
Yeah.
Lovely as she is in this
it was
lovely
warm.
Red, but
yeah.
I didn't want to have a big pile of wool in my lap.
I don't blame you. It has been wicked hot. I think that's why I like to knit socks and lace in the summertime. That must explain why I have this itch to knit lace. Speaking of itching, thank you very much, everyone who submitted suggestions on how to get fiberglass out of your knitting. I have given Andrew the list of suggestions that I have gotten and have tasked him with either removing the fiberglass from what's on the needles to decide, you know, either if he can't get it out, to decide whether or not it's time to toss it and get a new ball and start over, which I don't want to say this too loudly, but I think that's what's going to happen. But anyway, so thank you so much for all your feedback, and I appreciate it, and Andrew appreciates it, and yeah. So thanks a zillion. That's awesome. Oh, also, everyone else who's lost sock bags in random places, thank you for making me feel better. I felt so dumb, and, you know, because I don't normally lose things, especially my knitting. So there must be some sort of sock bag gnomes, you know, like the underpants gnomes that just walk off with our half-knit things. So thank you so much for all your feedback and suggestions and commiserating stories. I think it's time for some good advice now, though. I think yes. It's time for some Mother Knows Best.
Absolutely. This week's Mother Knows Best deals with the virtues of stashing. Now, most of us have a sizable stash.
Mm-hmm.
And we do want to support our local yarn stores,
mm-hmm.
but also we need to be mindful of our own resources.
Yes, absolutely.
And also, if you need a project, if you're working on a project and you run out of yarn, that's very unfortunate.
It is.
So, I have been stash shopping.
So have I.
It's glorious.
It is. And I think part of mine really comes from having done the social pressure experiment with Tika, how mm-hmm. it's kind of changed my mindset from just go buy something new to go dig through what you've already got. And I've been listening to Cast On, and we'll talk more about other podcasts in a little bit, but she's doing a section now about how people live when times are thin.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk about how my stash has gotten me through some really financially kind of thin times. So the way it seems that I have done things historically is when there's extra cash flow, I buy yarn and fiber and fleeces and things. And when there isn't any, I stash dive. So, mm-hmm. Gosh, I'm umming a lot today too. Pardon me. In this current economic climate, without bringing anyone down, a lot of us have been concerned with the state of our employment. And when I'm not sure if I'm going to be working, that's when I tend to tighten my belt a bit. And while I still support my local yarn shop, I buy all my notions there as I need them,
mm-hmm.
if I don't have them. I have been doing a lot of stash diving, and I've got some really good stuff, and that's how I ended up dyeing the red cashmere. So I bought all that cashmere on sale when I had extra expendable cash, mm-hmm. and I had it ready to go for when I wanted to knit something decadent and something nice. And that's the whole thing, is that being able to go into your stash and pull out something nice to work with is a really big deal. And I want to kind of do a segue between, you know, the importance of stashing and where it's virtuous, because I will tell you, my stash has gotten me through being fresh out of college, being in college, supporting Andrew when he was in grad school, between jobs, when mm-hmm. I was, you know, looking for something new. It's really gotten me through some really tough times, and I've been really grateful that I've had a stash, because I can't think of anything worse than being laid off and having nothing to knit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the worst.
Tragic.
It would be. And this way, I was talking to Andrew about this in the car, and I was like, you know, my stash has gotten us through some thin times, and I've always had nice stuff to knit, mm-hmm. and I've never had to go and buy yarn that I didn't like working with,
mm-hmm.
because that's what I could afford. And as a side note, I think you should knit with the good stuff when times are hard. If you have nice stuff in your stash, what a better time to knit with it than during a recession.
You're absolutely right.
Yep.
I've been not only looking at my yarn, so I pulled my yarn out of hiding,
mm-hmm.
and it's sitting, decorating my bedroom in happy colors.
Oh, wonderful.
And I'm also going through my stash of patterns.
Oh, good.
And I am on a cardigan/sweater kick right now.
Yep.
My sock knitting has woefully fallen to the wayside.
Yeah.
I want to work on sweaters right now, which is kind of, timing is getting kind of not so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have bamboo yarn.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And I brought some strange stuff from Habu a couple of years ago that's in my stash.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Tess microfiber ribbon.
So do I.
Yes, but I have the right now I'm looking at cardigans and sweaters.
Okay.
And I'm trying to match up my yardage and my gauge to...
To what you want to knit.
To my stash.
Yeah.
And what coincides and what I can see together. Because I may have the right yardage on something, but it doesn't have the right feel to it.
Well, sometimes just being the right weight and the right yardage for a project doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work real well. So I totally get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Just like some fibers lend themselves better to sweaters and some don't.
And sometimes the color doesn't talk to you.
Yeah, and you have to knit with stuff that makes your brain happy.
No, the color doesn't go with a pattern.
Oh, okay. So.
There's something really pretty I want to knit.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this great deal on the navy blue merino.
Mm-hmm.
But the pattern has cables. And I'm afraid if I knit it out of the dark merino, my work won't show.
I'm going to say the dreaded S word.
Swatch?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless.
Okay. But yeah, it's about knitting with what you like and knitting with good stuff. And if you don't have the resources right now, it's not that you'll never have the resources, but, you know, it's about being frugal and making good choices and still supporting your local businesses because, you know, if I'm going to buy anything, I want to keep my LYSs. My LYSs. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that felt funny coming out of my mouth. But, you know, I want to keep them going because when the worst thing is coming out of a recession and not having any knit shops.
So over the past few years, a few new yarn shops have opened in the area. And we would really like them to be in business when the recession is over and people again have more
disposable income.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the economy will improve and you'll have them there. And once the economy does pick up, if you find stuff you absolutely love, buy local, buy enough yardage, and be happy. I think that's the summary of today's Mother Knows Best. Stashing makes your knitting recession-proof. Ta-da! And now a quick word from our sponsors.
Spring inspires us with color here at Pearlescence Yarns. This week, we're celebrating the arrival of beautiful color in the shop. Elemental Effects and Judith McKenzie McEwen offer a delectable range in 100% American-grown Shetland fingering weight, perfect for the Fair Isle sweater of your dreams. Nathania's conjuring up a color harmony for Unijang's Autumn Rose pullover. Also from Elemental Effects, 2 ounce bumps of glorious Romney wool roving. How will you color your world?
It's when knitting attacks!
So Jasmine, fess up.
This week, it's not my knitting attacking me so much as having trust issues. I've been burned by patterns before.
Mm-hmm.
I have checked for errata before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on my wool peddler shawl. And I don't typically knit triangular shawls because I tend not to like how triangular shawls look on me.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this would be cute and it'll be smaller and it could be really fun. And I'm giving triangular shawls another chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the charts. And I've been knitting off of charts for 10 years now. And I've knit a lot of lace, I would say. I haven't knit super complicated lace, but this is, again, not super complicated. And I'm looking at it, and where they have you put the stitch markers as opposed to where the pattern repeats are, they don't quite line up, and there isn't really a really excellent explanation of how things are going to grow over time and how, I don't know. And for a knitting book that was printed like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's really excellent, but you can really tell the difference in publishing between then and now because there's just the one picture of the shawl. And what you'd get with knitting books now is you've got the big overall, like the body shot of of the shawl, and then they zoom in on the lace part.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at the chart and say, okay, there is one purl stitch between each stitch repeat.
Right.
Or there's two purl stitches, which is the problem I was running into last night while we were watching television. I was grumbling at my knitting. So I have trust issues. I don't know if this is a true when knitting attacks, but we might get there. How about you? How's your week going?
Oh.
That good, huh?
Aha. So the curly came off the blocking wires,
mm-hmm.
and I can continue on my knit along, which had been limping along
mm-hmm.
because I haven't done anything. So
yeah,
I sewed in one sleeve and I sewed on the other sleeve and then I went to try it on. And this is ribbing and it's fairly reversible. But I noticed that I had sewed in my sleeves inside out. Now, how much does it matter? It doesn't really. Because she's done a really good job at the edges. And there is a part where the collar flops open and the inside becomes the outside. So I've made a decision and we do have permission slips.
We do have permission slips telling you to and change patterns.
And I use one for myself that I can change a pattern. And so now my inside is the outside and the outside is the inside and you can't tell really.
Okay.
Unless you know. And it's asymmetrical. So instead of having the short side on the left, I have it on the right now.
Eh, whatever.
Not a big deal.
Nice.
So, yeah, but I felt kind of dumb.
Eh, it happens.
And if I had done the collar first, I still could have sewn it in wrong, so whatever.
Yeah. Is that it, though? Just the sleeve issue?
Do you need more?
No, that sounds about good. Well, then this seems like a good time to do a review. This week we'll be reviewing The Friday Night Knitting Club by Kate Jacobs. It's not a new book, but I was given this book by a friend to tell me. You know, she was like, oh, this is a great book. You should read it. And Mom read it, too. I think Mom read it first, right? So let's talk a little bit about the book. Before we start our review, I really do like books about knitting. When I'm not knitting or if I'm on an airplane, I do like to read about knitting. So it's kind of like my knitting away from my knitting, if that makes sense. But I'm having some issues with these books. And I don't have the same extremely strong feelings about Friday Night Knitting Club as I did about the other one that we reviewed, which was the other book we reviewed, which I'm totally blanking on, that we didn't like. And, you know, we had some really good discourse with our listeners about it because we felt very differently than some other people did. But the way I would describe this book is candy. It's not really nutritional reading, but you enjoy it. I read it.
It doesn't have to be nutritional.
Not at all. It doesn't have to be. But, you know, if you're expecting some deep philosophical, life-changing whatever, this is not your book. This is a read it out on the patio. I don't want to call it beach trash because it's not that bad, but it's a laying in the hammock book. You know? There are parts I really liked, so the reason I wanted to review it is, one, because we had a copy to review, and and two, because the book centralizes around a mother and daughter pair, which seemed appropriate for us.
It is.
So, it, like many chick lit books, and I hate using all these terms because they feel so negative, but that's kind of what it is. It's a struggling mother who's a single mom of a kid who's precocious and awesome and all these things, and she's trying to make this great life. But like single mothers do, she has to work really hard, and it takes some of the enjoyment out of it for her. So, while I like the idea of the close mother-daughter pair, the circumstances are not so great. But, again, you have to have a conflict to work through so that the book can move forward. Do you want to talk about how you felt about the book for a little bit before I go into the rest of my feelings?
Well, we worked in a local yarn store for many years, and there are some of the customers that seem kind of familiar. And there are, I think there are some stereotypes.
Of course there are.
You have the wealthy socialite. You have the feminist who is anti-knitting, although I don't think we had any of those.
No, because they don't waste their time coming into knitting shops.
And the up-and-coming knitters, the older knitters.
Well, you, and of course, you can't, I hate to quote Avenue Q, but sometimes there are stereotypes for reasons. All of us can look at these, a lot of us, I should say, can look at these characters and parallel them to people in our lives. Maybe not exactly, but close.
Yeah.
For a couple of them. I know a couple of knitters who remind me of the older character in the book. Anita, and how I can look at that character and be like, oh, that person is this person in my life. So the characters are likable enough. Some of the individual storylines felt a little bit thin to me because it's fiction and writing fiction is hard.
Well, all the unpleasant characters showed a lot of growth through their knitting and through association with the group, which was nice.
Is that true, though? I don't know if that really happens, but it's nice to think that knitting and being around knitters can change who you are if it's not great. But I'm going to do some spoilers, so if you don't want to hear it, skip forward a couple of minutes. I thought it was really weak that at the end of the book, Georgia gets cancer. I felt it was very Victorian to punish her for being happy and successful by being like, oh, you have cancer, and get sepsis, and die.
Well, and it's all very... She didn't get sepsis, and the part of...
She did. She got sepsis at the end. She went into septic shock and died because she had an obstruction or something.
Yeah, and that had nothing to do with what the initial problem was.
So no, I it was completely...
Kind of medically...
Weird.
Weird.
Yeah, it didn't fit. It didn't feel right. It felt kind of like a cheap ending. And while Kate Jacobs did a beautiful job, I don't think the ending did justice to the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because her influences are maybe Victorian, where, you know, women are punished for being happy and successful. But I felt it was a little bit weak.
The last book we read, when the little girl died, it killed it for me.
Yeah, and this, I was reading this.
But this... It kind of felt okay.
I mean, it was okay, but the whole thing was it was so sudden and unexpected that I was like, okay. I don't know. It felt like the end of Hannibal to me, like where it just didn't make sense and it wasn't what the characters would do and it just didn't fit. And while I know that cancer has touched a lot of our lives as knitters because we know a lot of people and our friends, a lot of our friends have had cancer and have survived cancer, this just felt cheap. Like the end was just, okay, I got to finish this book and get it done. Bang out this book, write the next one. So, Kate Jacobs did a great job on the rest of the book, if you ask me. It's just the end made me feel like there was something left undone, if that makes sense. Like, she hooks up with the guy who she had the kid with, and they're happy, and everything's great. And
this should have been a happy ending.
It should have been a happy ending. I felt that maybe her Victorian influences, perhaps, influenced her a bit too much. I think we've grown past punishing women for being happy in literature, I think. But that's me getting on my feminist soapbox. I'm so sorry to get into that. But overall, I enjoyed this book. I thought it was a fun read. I read it out on the patio on a nice day, and it was nice, you know? So we've got a couple other things that we're going to be reviewing as time goes by. Do you want to talk about how you felt about the book? I do a lot of talking in these.
It was a fun, light read.
Mm-hmm.
The characters developed, which is good in a book.
Yep.
And in the end, things worked out for everybody. And even for the main character who died, things worked out for her because her little girl was taken care of.
And that's really a nice ending, I think, in a way. Even if it's not ideal and all Pollyanna, it still works.
Yep.
So yeah, I would give this one thumb up. I'm not enthusiastically endorsing this book just because I wasn't all that excited about it. It was just a book. Wasn't bad. Wasn't my favorite. But, you know, don't think I'd read it again.
No.
Yeah, but it was okay. One thumb up from you too?
Yep.
Okay, so that's one Knit More thumb up on
this
book.
How many thumbs total do we have? Have we decided yet?
That's a really good question. Well, sometimes I say I give it two thumbs up and then you give it two thumbs down. So, yeah. Yeah. It's
so
okay.
We both liked it.
We both liked it enough. So,
yeah.
We'll be reviewing some more of these types of books.
It's really good reading if all you want is cotton candy.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Excellent cotton candy.
Yep. So, good. There you go. Cotton Candy, Friday Night Knitting Club, Kate Jacobs. Links in the show notes. This week, we're happy to bring you the first installment of our listener-inspired segment, Bring It On. So you asked which podcasts we like and which ones we listen to. And I think along with there was a question about how you select which order to listen to which podcasts in. So let's start with what we like. Let's be more general. Let's talk about what we like as far as content and things like that. And then we'll move into the other stuff. So I listen to a lot of knitting podcasts. I kind of forced Mom to start listening to them after we started doing a podcast, because when I called her and said, we have to do a knitting podcast, she had no idea what I was talking about. But she went with it anyway, which I think made her a very good sport. Don't you think?
Yes.
I don't know what it is, but I'll do it. So, I like well-thought-out stuff. I like structure. I like being creative. I like how people have taken what they're passionate about as well as knitting mm-hmm. and kind of fuse them together, mm-hmm. which is really pleasant to listen to. I like a nice voice. I'm going to say I'm kind of a floozy. If someone has a nice voice, I don't really care what they're talking about. So, mm-hmm. and we'll talk more about that in a bit, but it's mostly content, but also flair, if that makes sense. So, for example, I really like Bark and Knit because I have dogs, and Natalie talks about dog training, mm-hmm. and she talks about her own dogs and a little about her personal life, which I like. I like a little bit of personal life peppered in with the content of the podcast because, let's face it, we're all human, and we all have lives, and that affects everything. Mm-hmm. When I've had a particularly hard week at work, we tend to have longer When Knitting Attack segments. You know, it all kind of fits together. So Natalie talks about dog training, and because I've been listening to that one, to Bark and Knit, I've been able to kind of work with my dogs a little bit more on training. Mm-hmm. And I really am fond of it because she takes a positive reinforcement approach, which is what we do with our dogs. And
operant conditioning.
Exactly. And speaking of operant conditioning, do you want to talk about another podcast that we really like?
Dr. Gemma's Cognitive.
Yep.
She has different segments.
Yep.
And there is she talks about something she likes, which I think is wonderful. We don't get enough of that in the news on a daily basis anywhere. So having somebody talk about something that she likes is wonderful.
Yeah.
I like that she labels one section blather. Mm-hmm. And I like to hear about
the blather.
It. But I also like that she has labeled it as such.
Yeah.
Because I find that I like structure.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And she has managed to structure
her blather. Yeah.
Which is perfect. And I've taken
Some of her strategies
and implemented it very successfully. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Love Dr. Gemma.
Yeah, we're both big fans.
Doesn't hurt that she likes us, too.
Well, you know, that's always nice. It's nice to have a mutual adoration society. Speaking of things that we really like and favorite things, we really like Stitch It with Megan. I think that she is cute as a button. I mm-hmm. think her segments are interesting. They're well thought out. They are articulate. She's so positive about everything, which just... I really admire that because sometimes we get bogged down with the negativity of life, and it just seems that, you know, things hit Megan and she just takes it in stride and keeps going. Like, it bounces off of her, and I really aspire to be more like Megan. And she's just cute as a button, and I think we all agree that she's fantastic. And I love her spinning segment because she's so articulate about things, and she went to SOAR, and she's sharing her knowledge. And my spinning segment can only dream to be as good as hers. I'm mm-hmm. just talking about what I'm spinning. I'm not talking about anything real, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really like Stitch It. Another one I really like is Naked Knits. It's more about Sydney and kind of her life and things like that, but it's nice to just listen. Mm-hmm. I can't really put my finger on what I like about Naked Knits, but I know I like it. So that's a horrible endorsement, I know, but it's just very personal, and I like that. And another personal one that I like is Knitting Rose. I listen to a bazillion knitting podcasts, by the way, if you couldn't tell. And I'm talking about some of the newer podcasts, or some, not the originals, you know, because some of the originals are good. And, like, I still love Cast On. I've listened to every episode of Cast On.
When do you have time to do this?
Oh, I commute. I do a lot of driving. So when I'm sick or on vacation... If I don't do a lot of driving on vacation, I don't do a lot of listening. So mm-hmm. I tend to fall behind around Christmas because we have the shutdown. But another one I really like is Craftlit, because last year we had power out for 4 days over the winter break, and we listened to Frankenstein on Craftlit through my battery-powered speakers on my iPod. And there is nothing like listening to gothic literature by the fireplace with candlelight.
Okay.
So I really like that. Heather is brilliant. I love her. She actually talks about it like a literature professor, because I think she teaches literature in college. But it gets my English major brain going, and I really like that because you don't get to have those deep deconstructive, paralleling the plot of this book to the Bible or to some other classic piece, or talking about themes in history as they relate to that. And it just gets my brain going, and it feels good. Mm-hmm. It makes the, it, you know, gets the dust off the gears, and it keeps things moving. And another podcast I like that talks about books is Gives Goodnit. We love Tika. We've always liked Tika.
And even before she was a podcaster.
And she talks about books. She talks about her knitting. She talks about her spinning. And I really like it because she does research before she talks about books. So I appreciate that she considers the historical context. I like that she considers other works that were written concurrently. What else do I like? Oh, Brass Needles is a new one. I don't think you've listened to that one yet.
No.
Brass Needles is hosted by the lovely Miss Callender, and she's actually a friend of mine. Hi, Erin. And she talks about science fiction, she talks about fashion, and she talks about knitting.
Oh.
And I think one of my favorite episodes, and she's, I think, only 5 episodes in, but she talks about 90s morality and Star Trek The Next Generation, which gets my heart going all pitter-pat. So, and I have a whole rant about the Prime Directive and how that's imperialism, but that's for another day in another podcast. But I really like her. She's a new one. It's a shorter podcast. It's only 15 or 20 minutes an episode, but it's...
That's really good, too.
It's good for transitions, because I like my long podcasts like Cast On or any of the other ones, Stitch It. And I've started listening to High Fiber Diet, but I haven't had a chance to listen to a lot of them, so I can't make a good... I can't talk about it in an articulate way yet. And even the ones I do listen to all the time. Some of the bigger ones that I really like Cast On with Brenda Dane. I find her very inspiring. I think mm-hmm. that she's very thoughtful and very articulate and has a voice like butter. And when I met her last year on the Sea Sox cruise, I think she is just one of the nicest people. Yeah. And she gives... The nice thing is she plays promos for people and she talks about other podcasts. And she's very supportive of other podcasters, mm-hmm. which... You know, to be honest, the way we got started is I was listening to all of the Cast On episodes that I had, like, every episode that had been uploaded, I downloaded and listened to in the course of, like, a month while I was driving all over the back of Beyond. And she had one episode where she said, "You should be podcasting. You should do a podcast." And it wasn't like I thought, "Oh, my God, you're talking to me." But it was like, yeah, I should. This is a really good idea. And we have this great thing that we can share with people. And so I really like that Brenda's very supportive. When you have questions, she answers them. When you submit essays, you know, she gives you good feedback. And she's just a mensch. I like her. Brenda's a great gal.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of other very popular menchy podcasters, I also like David Reedy of Sticks and String.
Yes.
Remember how I said I was a bit of a, yeah, I like his voice.
Mm-hmm.
I like his accent. I like his essays. I like his knitting.
I have started listening to him this weekend, and I'm sorry mm-hmm. that I'm so far behind, but...
It gives you room to catch up.
Yeah, and it's like having Hugh Jackman sitting there reading to me.
A bit.
I like it.
It's very pleasant.
It is.
I like to listen to him when I drive. I find him very soothing, so...
I seem to be getting a lot of housework done.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about when we listen.
Okay.
Let's finish our list of who we like first. David's stuff is really good. He's the one who's kind of drawn my attention to the gender bias in knitting. Yes, I realize that women tend to predominantly be knitters, but I do agree with David in that there aren't enough patterns for blokes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a great phone call from our friend Gregory, who subbed for me when I was sick and had no voice over the winter break.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to bring a book, and we're going to put a couple of guys in front of the microphones and do a segment that I like to call Men on Men, where men talk about knitting patterns. And yeah, but he's made an excellent point of when he reviews books and when he looks through magazines of pointing out what the bias is. And considering how many of us knit for our significant others, you would think there was more. So this is my call out to all of you people who are designers. More blokeware, please. So there we go. Who else do I like? Who else do you like? I'm trying to go through my list of people.
Fadenfreude.
Oh, you should talk about that one, since I don't speak enough German to listen.
This is put out by Sophie. It's in German.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about knitting in Germany in German.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just enjoying it tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so out of touch with what's going on in Germany and in Europe with knitting and fashion and all of that. And she has started spinning lately, so it's wonderful.
Oh, good.
And, yeah. Cool. I like to hear more from her.
Yeah.
She says the knitting podcasts aren't quite the rage in Germany yet, but...
I'm sure they'll catch on.
Yeah.
It's also... I think it also depends on what your lifestyle's like, but we'll get there. A couple other ones that I really like. I really like Changeling's Knit and Stitch. The Changeling is very good. I like her regular segments. I also like her irregular podcasting. I think it's nice that she doesn't podcast unless she has time and energy. I think that's awesome. Who else do I listen to? I'm actually scrolling through my iTunes because my brain is totally fried, but,
you know. Fairy Knitting?
I like Fairy Knitting. There's another one that I listened to recently that was Knitlark, and we have a promo that we're going to play in the next episode, but... She reads classics and stories and has one-offs, and it's very, very nice. It's called Knitlark Lane. Not Knitlark Knits. Sorry about that. Who else do I like? I'm just scrolling through as we look. But, you know, I'm really enjoying it. I've fallen out of love with some of the original podcasts just because I feel like I'm intruding on an inside joke. And that's not a good feeling. And I hope that none of our listeners ever feel excluded like that, so... Having said that, I love the Manic Pearl. Chrissy is hysterical, and I love her choice in music. I keep downloading geek music that she puts on at the end. Like, there was a great You Say Potato, I Say Potato, but it was with Klingon.
Oh!
It was hysterical. I'll have to have you listen to it later. And a couple of other ones. There was a Firefly song that she had on there that I just howled. And her content is super good, too. So, I mean...
We don't necessarily listen to the same podcasts.
No, I do significantly more driving than Mom does. And I also, as I hear about new podcasts, I just download them so that I can give them a try and listen to them. And if they're a good fit for me, then they are. And if they're not, they're not.
And also, you have dogs. I don't at
so,
this time.
Yeah.
So I really like Megan, but I don't have the dog connection.
Not Megan,
much
Natalie.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I don't have the dog connection right now.
Yeah.
And your German isn't up to listening to Fadenfreude.
It's not, sadly. Who else do I listen to? I like Knit Therapy. I think Kim is really funny. I like She Knits. I think Sharon is a kick. I love that she's using it to push her business. I love that she's an independent businesswoman. And I'm totally overwhelmed by the fact that she has 7 kids. That's unreal. I don't even know how she has time to design. I have 2 dogs and I'm overwhelmed. So that's awesome. We talked about Sticks and String. I'm going through alphabetically now. So
Why Knit?
Oh, I also really like Wine It. I like that they're kind of fun and silly, and mm-hmm. they always have good content as well, and they couldn't be nicer people. So I think that's important. I like listening to pleasant people talk about knitting and spinning. I also really enjoy Sweaters for Dragons. Eric has one of those lovely baritone voices that just, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should be reading on Craftlet. Maybe I should send an email. But yeah, that's pretty much the list. I might have missed a few, but bear with us. We'll talk about them as they come. If you're a podcaster who listens to our podcast and you'd like us to play your promo, feel free to send it to us at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. And if you're curious and you're interested in listening to any of the podcasts we've talked about today, I will link to them in the show notes, which I will give you the address for at the end of the episode. But let's talk about really quick how we listen as far as techniques and... all that good stuff. And when we listen. So I mentioned that I listen while I drive. I also listen while I get ready for work in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen while I am panning for gold in the backyard.
Okay.
I don't really pan for gold, but I have 2 dogs, and you can infer what that means. How about you?
My commute is not long enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't work for me. I listen to podcasts when I'm doing work around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm totally tuned into David Reedy and his lovely voice. And then I look around and the kitchen is clean. The dishes have been done.
Yep.
There's some mopping has happened. And I have no clue when that happened. Also, I'm trying to get back to sewing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the podcasts going while I work.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of falling asleep to the TV...
Mm-hmm.
I've started listening to podcasts when I'm ready to nod off.
Yeah.
That works, too.
Excellent. Do you want to talk about listening techniques as to how to pick which to listen to first?
Well, I'm going to use my little box of socks technique.
Uh-huh.
Which means I want to download... I want to try all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And considering how wobbly our first few episodes were,
yeah,
I thought I'd listen to three each,
mm-hmm,
and then go from there.
Yeah, that's roughly the position I take as far as... I try not to listen to the first episode as well, because you can't really get a good read off of what a podcast is going to be based on the first episode.
Yeah, but aren't you supposed to start stuff at the beginning?
You should start at the beginning generally, but I think it's more fair to the podcaster to really... to start, I mean, and if you're starting with their first episode, give them a chance to find their feet. It's really hard to sit in front of them. There are weeks where we've had a challenge sitting in front of the microphone, and that's why we did the listener segment, because you guys inspire us so much. And even if our own knitting isn't terribly inspiring, your questions and comments and feedback, mm-hmm, keeps it moving. And that's the nice thing, is once these podcasters get some feedback and kind of decide what their voice is and how they're going to format, it's so much better. And I'm really enjoying going back and listening to the ones that I really like. So the way I listen is, as my favorites download, I listen to those first, and then I go through and listen to the other ones. Because there are some that I'm just like, meh, about. But I still enjoy them enough to listen, so.
I think I downloaded about 80 episodes of David Reedy's show.
Yep.
And that way maybe was not a good idea, because...
That's all you want to listen to?
No, I think I overloaded my computer.
That's okay.
And I'm going at a snail pace now, and yeah.
We'll work it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I listen to my favorites first. I call it the TiVo technique, which is watch your favorite stuff first and then catch up on everything else. So, yeah. Thank you for joining us for the first segment, for our first segment of Bring It On.
Mm-hmm.
This week's spinning segment is going to be short and sweet. I've only been doing a little bit of spinning because it's been warm, but I have been spinning some mango-colored merino silk from Redfish Dye Works. It's 4 ounces. I think I paid $32 for the bump, and it is like butter. It's, think of the color of a mango, a ripe mango, what the color is on the outside, that beautiful dark orangey red, and then you cut it open, and that's it's that sunshine orange on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious. It tickles my brain and it's fun to spin. I'm spinning it lace weight and I'm going to ply it up and make something lace out of it. That's all I know so far, but I'm spinning it on the Shacked Reeves, which has lovely high speed whirls and goes pretty quick. So it's, mm-hmm, nice and fine and tight. And that's about it. I am really enjoying it and I will let you know how it plies up and I'll post pictures when I've got them. So that's about it for spinning this week. This week, we'd like to thank show sponsors, Pearlescence Yarns and Verena Knitting, our supporters, and most importantly, you, our listeners. Everything we've talked about on this week's episode, and I mean everything, can be found at the show notes page, which is at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com, and you can send your comments, questions, and feedback to us at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. And there's a link to our Ravelry group on our show notes page. So please come and partake in the discussion, because it gets pretty lively over there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, this is Jasmine.
And Gigi.
Telling you to knit more.